We're live. This is the making of the show, The Great Expectations of Princess Portus, by the Academic Genius Brothers, our radio series in 14 episodes. It's time to be fun, fair, and square. Episode 14. Expectations are contagious. The end. We meet up with our trio at Jesse's home on Wednesday, 2 p.m. They discuss how to finalize the story of Princess Portus. They rectify, confirm, delete, add, and agree. This is their process of making of. They choose to end up like this. Their expectations are contagious, as well, like that of the great expectations of Princess Portus.
Sorry, I'm late, guys. It's not because of the cow in my garden. I'm late for some reason that I don't know myself.
Yeah, we were wondering what excuse you were going to give us today.
I don't know why it's due. It's due to the anguish of not being on time. And since you must have been happy to be on time, you arrived late. It's a paradoxical behavior with a high psychic intensity.
Damn! I did well to be late today, because otherwise I would never have known.
Yeah, it's like Princess Portus. She finds herself in a psychological situation with a surrealistic character where time is no longer her ally, and everything escapes her. And yet, she has to be on time with her destiny.
Look, guys, she must manage the prince of the FMC, who was locked in the sheepfold. The prince of ABC, who pressurizes her to marry him, her father, the injured king, in agony, and a way to find... to bring the witch to the castle.
Guys, I don't see how I'm going to be able to play king, princess, and witch at the same time.
Like what I said, we're going to have to be cunning like a fox, insightful like a crow, and agile like a monkey.
And keep our cold blood like a penguin.
Let's proceed by elimination. What happens to the king? He dies or he's saved? Saved by whom?
Why not by Dr. B, after all? By the way, she has been integrated in our story.
It's possible. Okay, so suppose I play the general again. You, Paul, my liaison officer. We could wait in an antechamber for the king to reappear, and I say to you, my dear William, as a liaison officer, you will be able to announce the good news to our army. Dr. P has saved the king. It should not be long before... it won't be long before he's left the room.
My general, joy is on your face and hope on mine. This Dr. B was wonderful. We should name her Major. Combat medic, so that she can be with us during battle.
Excellent, Officer William. But let's keep her in the reserve army. Many civilians need her.
General, once again, you have your genius spoken. Intelligence is on your face and admiration on mine.
I hear noise nearby. Or is that just my imagination? Could it be the king?
Ha! You are here, my faithful general. Now the victory can be read on your face. And you, Officer William, whose serious face resembles more and more to the Baron of the Working Committee, go immediately to tell our army of the impending counter-offensive.
At your command, Majesty. I go, I run, I hurry. I left, I'm no longer there. I disappear from your sight. I am far.
General, you have no more time to waste. I have already informed our princess of my departure by Eagle One, our best carrier pigeon. Let's go.
And there, Paul, you come back on stage as a prince of the FAMC. It's gotta be quick.
Okay, I'm in the sheepfold. The princess arrives, tells me that she'll take care of me and suggests that I take a walk in the meadow with her when the prince of ABC appears.
Then I arrive. I try to make you sign papers to be exempt from taxes. The princess is against it. And I ask that, she asked that I postpone the case. I take the opportunity to ask again for her in marriage.
Okay, but there, she plays hesitation, maybe yes, maybe no, and asks you for a favor that you dare not refuse. She asks you to watch, keep, feed, and sleep in the sheepfold with the prince of the FAMC.
And she announces that she's leaving to join the king, so she goes.
The two princes are now in the sheepfold. So what happens then?
I arrive as a prince of the Resident Assembly, and I announce that there is a new selection process, that your mandate is over, and that you can stay in the sheepfold as long as you want without maintenance.
Super. But how do we come to the witch? I'm not going to be mutton all the time.
The only solution would be that I send her a message by carrier pigeon telling her that you want to marry her.
Finally, her dream comes true. She lands here and throws herself in your arm. Then she drinks a magic potion of her compositions, of course, and all of a sudden become beautiful like Princess Porthos. And she tells you that she is her sister. The proof, she has the same nose.
No, okay, but when does she release me from her spell?
After I become a monk.
Not before?
Before, it will call it in question scene 4 of Act 3. We have to stick coherent, guys.
Unless scene 3 of Act 2, I don't say who I am.
Correct. But then you would have to resign for personal reasons and show up for the housing board.
Okay, but on the condition that you're fired from the ABC and that you're going to go and plant trees.
Okay, only for 1 year, though. After that, I apply to be prince of the BCC.
Hey, guys, you forgot that I have that the princess has reorganized everything with her royal alphabet.
So I don't end up a monk? I play the villain, and I stir up a rebellion.
That controls thanks to the Conflicts and Resolution Group, which supports me in secret.
Anyway, me and the end, I sing with my ukulele.
You weren't killed along with the kings by King by Igoric II, the egocentric evil king in battle? You haven't decided your fate yet. I'm sorry, princess.
Paul's right. Also, why doesn't the princess love me? I mean, I have everything, so to please her.
I agree with Jesse. He has everything to please her. It doesn't make sense she doesn't love him.
I love who I want, whether you like it or not.
Princess is too capricious. She only does what amuses her.
I think I much prefer the character of the witch.
Perfect. That's why she refused to get married. She wants to be independent at the service of all. I will do anything to make it happen. Gentlemen, take care. My expectations are contagious.
Well, there it is. It can be a good ending. Princess Porthos singing, "My expectations are contagious."
Excellent finale. It took a while, but we ended up finding the end.
Dear Princess, congratulations. All my respect.
Distinguished greetings, Princess.
Thanks, Guy.
The end. This has been a Genius Brothers production. We'd like to thank all the people that have worked hard and long to put this show together. Written by the incredible Wuzzo and performed by Wuzzo, Paul and Jesse. And edited by Stefano from the incredible Stefano Audible Radio Show. This production has been a pleasure from start to finish, and we have all thoroughly relished every minute of its passing time. So, from us at the Genius Brothers, good night, farewell, have fun. And we'll be back probably in 2 or 3 minutes with another performance of some wacky content to surprise and amaze you. For now, be good, be bad, and eat lots of bananas because potassium is good for you. This is the work of a Frenchman. Any resemblance to actual English grammar, Shakespearean or otherwise, is purely coincidental. The Anglo-Saxon actors in this production take no responsibility for the structure of their dialogue or word choice. Excellent. Excellent. Good.